listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and happy Monday. Thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin. We are so happy and grateful to have you here today as we continue our exploration in 2021 of everything that you need to know from A to Z on how to land your ideal job in 2021. So today we're going to be doing a special episode. Brandon and I both having been both coaches and recruiters, we thought we would focus today's episode on the growth strategy and what you need to know to be successful in preparing for an interview. For anybody out there who's ever been on an interview at any point in your life, you know, we know that preparation is 50% or more of how successful you are or not in the interview. Now, before we dive into today's topic, though, I do want to thank our sponsors who make today's show possible, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary services, recruiting services for executive search, and they also offer special contingency search as well. So please do keep them in mind for all of your staffing needs. All right, buddy, without further ado, I hand it over to you. Now let's talk interview prep.
Yeah, fantastic. And I was thinking about this today that we were texting earlier today and we were talking about how this feels very much in our wheelhouse. I think combined, I would imagine we've probably interview prepped 2,000-3,000 people, give or take, over the course of our careers. And, you know, for me, even with that, I thought about it today and I thought about how even in my prior career as an attorney, I prep my witnesses for trial and get them ready for things like Social Security disability, workers' comp, what have you. So interview prep, emphasis on prep, is vital. So the question becomes, should we start with what not to do or what to do? What do you think, Jennifer?
Let's start with what to do. In case people only watch the first 5 minutes of the episode, I'd rather have them focus on what to do, because unfortunately, our brain, being human beings, and science has proven this, does not understand not. I don't know if any of you out there have ever said, I will never, I will not, or don't. Your brain sometimes, yes, it's helpful to know, okay, how about if we do X or Y instead? So I think from a psychological neuroscience standpoint, it might be beneficial to focus more on what to do, so that way that people's brains will attach to that.
I love it. Look at you with the neuroscience lesson for today. So great. So first things first, and I looked up, did a little research coming into this, even though obviously we've done this for years, you and I. And the number one tip is be honest. And I thought that is just, that is the most consistent advice I've given people throughout my career in every iteration of prep is be honest. It is much easier to remember the truth than some fabricated what have you. So the more authentic and honest you are in an interview, A, the less you have to remember, and B, the more confident you'll come across, the more organic. And I think there's this nature that people do where they go into interviews and they're nervous and they're uncomfortable and they want to make a great impression. And I think they sometimes overcorrect and maybe they hold back information they don't think is relevant or they don't think they should share. But in my experience, rarely does someone miss out on a job opportunity because they overshared. It's oftentimes because they undershared at least what the value they have. Now, if you go on a tangent of all the places you're weak, all the reasons you left your old job, there's such a thing as being too honest. But I start with honesty. Do you have any thoughts on that, Jennifer?
I think that honesty, Brandon, can be both our greatest ally and our greatest destructor. So it depends on how you're wielding that honesty. Think of honesty as this magical sword, right? And it's a two-edged sword. And because some people, and I've seen this happen over the 15, 20 years I was in recruitment, you know, I've seen it happen, unfortunately, where sometimes people use the honesty sword to cut themselves off at the knees. Great example of this. There was a woman many years ago who I was preparing for an interview, And it was my bad because I was preparing her the morning of her interview as she's about to walk in the door. And she's going to this huge law firm in Century City. And I asked her the question, which we'll talk about today. One of the most important questions to prepare for is, what is your weakness? Like you just said, Brandon, you know, talking about your weakness can be something that if you over expound upon it, you're going to direct so much attention on that, that people are going to perhaps miss what your greatest strengths are. So what she said, and this is why I say that honesty is great, and simultaneously, how do you say things in a way that don't cut yourself off at the knees using the honesty sword? And in her case, when I said, what's your biggest weakness? She said, oh, Jennifer, you know, I'm a worrier and I stay up late every single night worried about what's on my desk the next day. And so every single day I'm late to work. So yes, there is a way. Now, what I had suggested to her, and I suggest to all of you out there, when you're talking, for example, about preparing for a question about weakness, here's the thing, it's a cliche. Does anybody really want to answer the weakness question? Not really. Do people really want to hear the answer? Yes and no, simultaneously. They want to know that you're striving to do better. Like, for example, the woman who says that her weakness is that she's going to show up late to work every day, I don't know about you, I'm not necessarily inclined to want to hire her right away. However, if that woman instead were to say to me, you know, Jennifer, something that could be considered a potential weakness is the fact that I put my work above all else. It's my number one priority. And sometimes I let that, you know, be my focus, and that causes me to reprioritize things. So one thing I'm working on is to find balance in my life so that way I can fulfill on all my commitments in a meaningful way. I also just said that she was running late. There was complete transparency in that. However, it was just said a little bit more delicately. Like, if you can read between the lines on that without saying, hey, I'm going to be late to work and miss every team meeting, you know, and you just want to know that, like, what are you doing? What are the actionable items? If you know you're going to be late, notice that I tied it in. The woman who is saying that she's late to work every day, what's really missing in her case is boundaries. If you have too porous of boundaries, then you're going to have work just spilling over into everything. And yes, you're not going to be able to balance your own health and well-being. And for me personally, I find that can be a potential red flag for any of us as a human being in an interview or otherwise. You know, if you say, oh, you know, I take work home with me, et cetera, you know, as human beings, we've all learned over this last year or so in the pandemic, our health, our vitality, our wholeness is of paramount importance. And I want to empower our teams. You know, I'm building my next company right now, and I want to empower our teams so that people realize that I'm not going to expect you to work till midnight. That's unkind to you. It's unkind to me. It's unkind to yourself. So how do you find that balance, and how do you empower people with that? So yes, I do think the honesty sword is important to wield. I think that it's important to be kind to yourself without cutting yourself off at the knees or others off at the knees. You know, if somebody says, honestly, my boss was a real jerk, an a-hole, whatever it is, that's also honest. But is it compassionate towards your boss and yourself? And are you just saying that the person is a jerk? Or are you saying, you know what, I had a boss who I worked with, and he was somebody who would often yell at me. And so what I did is I would stand up for myself. And that's a way to kind of use, again, the honesty sword in a powerful way.
That's really important, because I tell people the number one question that's going to prevent you from getting the next job is that question you just said. Why did you leave your last job? As a recruiter, I would get calls a lot with, we love that person, they were great, right until we got why they were leaving. And then they went off at a 15-minute tangent about why they were treated poorly, why they didn't like their employer. No one wants that. No one wants to be your rebound. Yet Jennifer had something really important. The way I've tailored that question, because it's so hard, right? A lot of times we're leaving a job because we're hurt personally or professionally. But what you can do, and I talk a lot about values in my work, is say, what drew me to your company was this. You know, you don't have to say why you're leaving. If you point out all the things that you like about the new employer, and you can talk about things like, when I walked the hallways, people were smiling and they were happy to be here, it seemed. That's going to make them, the person who's interviewing you, love you more, because they're going to say, yeah, that's kind of how we are. Now, what you're really saying is, my place was a miserable place where no one smiled or talked to one another. But what you're saying, and Jennifer talked about this last time, which is the words we use matter. I love that, Jennifer. I've been thinking about it a lot. That don't say no worries. We just hear worries, right? Say, I'm all good. drew you to this employer. I love that you talked about weakness. You know, the first big job I got as a trial attorney, where young 20 something, and they were giving me 300 case files and saying, go to court every day and try these things. And I had been in a courtroom and maybe all once up until that point. And what's ironic is one of the things that created the connection with the partner in the firm was when they asked that question of what's your weakness, I said, truth be told, one of the things I struggle with is ADD. You know, and this always happens to me. There's always two people who interview me, and one person's like, oh, this guy's awful. And the other person's like, oh, yeah, there's something to him. But there's two things that worked in my favor in that interview. One, he struggled with dyslexia his entire life. Mm-hmm. And he thought it was very authentic. You know, that wasn't a knock for him, dealing with some sort of disability. And then one other thing I talk about, and this is actually interesting about dyslexia. Dyslexia is the most common learning disability that CEOs share in common. And it always makes sense to me that if the easiest thing that comes to most people is hard for you, then as you go further in life, nothing's hard. With ADD, what many people may not know is the superpower is hyperfocus. So if you just give it, and that was, you know, made me a very good trial attorney. I would get in there and I would have all the information in my head and I would go, oh, the only thing that matters is that thing that that person just said, that's the rest of the case. And he loved that. He loved that what made me a great lawyer was the ADD. You know, now put me behind a desk all day, give me documents to review, less good. But he needed me to be in court. And for that reason, I got the job. So that's a great example where you get the job based on your weakness. But
Brandon, I just want to pause though and say that that's the whole point. When you have a job where your quote unquote weakness is one of your greatest star strengths, boom, you know that it's a match made in heaven. That's what we're all striving for. And I just wanted to highlight that for people, because whatever we think could be a potential weakness, I, for example, have Asperger's, you know, and so in some ways I'm high functioning and that's great. And I remember when I learned about that, I was crushed and I was like, oh my gosh, I could see my whole life flash before my eyes and any mistake I made or where people said I was cold or not paying attention. And then as my business coach taught me, much like you, I realized it was my superpower because I could become hyper-focused in that way as well. And I know we had some great comments here, Brandon, just to tie it in from some of our listeners who are live here with us. We have Michelle, who is saying to carefully and slowly speak when you're answering a question, which I think is so important. I don't know about you guys, but I get all amped up and I'm constantly working with my coaches to be in the moment, allow a conscious, loving breath. That's one of my favorite techniques. If we can allow a breath in between, then we're not gasping for an interview and we occur as more authentic. And Michelle also brought up another thing. She said, you know, people are going to ask more specifically, less about the weakness and more, how do you deal with different types of communication? So we have lots of great feedback coming in here from our listeners. And I invite everybody, you're welcome to comment live during the show. We would love to incorporate your feedback. Just hop on to LA Talk Radio Facebook Live page on their Facebook page and we'll interact with you there during the show.
Yeah, I think it's actually, Michelle, those are great points. And being an East Coaster, I certainly struggle with the going slow. And it's always a good, it's painful, but it's a great reminder. And it's partly because I lead with my passion, but I'm much more effective, to Michelle's brilliant point, when I'm slow. And most lookup interview tips are going to tell you, go slow, be concise. You know, one thing that I really think is important, again, to Michelle's point about communication style, is notice the interviewer and how they're talking to you. Match that cadence, match that energy. You know, really find what that individual cares about and talk about that thing. And one of the things we don't do enough in interviews is we don't, as the interviewee, ask enough questions. Interviewers will tell you whether or not you – look, sometimes it's a terrible place to work, and the interviewer will go, you don't want to work here, you know?
They won't say it outright, Brandon, but they're –
no, but they will, but they'll give you some cues.
Yeah, they'll tell you without telling you.
You seem like a nice person. Maybe there's a better place for you, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, have you looked at our competition down the street? They're great. They're hiring too.
Yeah, no, it's very true. I remember when I was interviewing for an agent, and as an agent, like, you know, more than once, people were like, don't, you know, you seem like this. You should consider, like, you're just telling me not to come work here. I get it. The other thing I would say, you bring up a good point too about the importance of, I know we're skipping ahead and we should do it. We could do a whole show on this, but the importance of references. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, a great reference is actually not going to hide your weakness. They might even highlight it. For example, when I got hired at Advancing Women Executives 6 years ago, and there were a lot of kind of question marks, I think, for my CEO. One of the reasons I got the job was she called my old boss in recruiting, actually at Markham, and said, tell me about him, anything that's not great. And the other guy I worked with, who you might know, this guy Tim, Tim was glowing, over the top, I'm the best. She didn't like that. You know, she liked this other woman's reference, which was, he's amazing, he's great, just don't have him. If it's going to be a lot of sales, and she's right, I hated cold calling, still do. But the clients loved him. And so my CEO said, well, you know, this is, at the time when I worked there, she said, this job is taking care of the customers and making sure they're okay. And then she immediately shook gears. You have to hire Brandon. There's no one better at that. And I love that they got there because she acknowledged, you know, I might not have given her as a reference if I wouldn't know she was going to say it, but it worked to my advantage. And, yeah, and so again, back to that honesty, openness, forthright. People know when you're hiding something.
Totally. I totally agree. And it's okay to be fired. I just got a call from somebody recently. Guys, it's okay to be fired. It just depends on if you make it a big deal or not. If you're willing to just own it and allow it to be, you know, may people find out, yes, no, like a lot of people have been fired. One of my favorite things that I teach people is what's called the good, bad, good method. And that means that when we talk about why we left a job, it's because there was something good. There was something over here that we're like, ooh, I want that. I want to be there. So you talk about why you originally took the job. Then the middle part is what was missing. What was missing in that job? Without trash talking, it's like you just said, Brandon, great example. You know, what was missing in my last job was that, you know, I'm not as passionate about doing business development. What I love is client development. That's where I thrive. And what was offered to me in Advanced Women Leaders was being able to focus on the client side so that way I could really focus on what mattered most to me. And when we use that good, bad, good method, you know, in anything, it doesn't matter if it's a job, it could be related to anything in life, you sandwich it between two goods. And then you have this freedom to communicate in a way where you're telling the truth 100%. And you're also just not complaining. Because imagine if you did the opposite, where you sandwich things between two complaints, people are going to kind of be like, ooh, yuck, I don't want that, right?
Absolutely. And I think one of the ways to get there, especially if you've been fired or, you know, most people understand if you've been fired. Most people definitely understand if you're part of a layoff, say that, right? I mean, most people, especially in the Valley where I do a lot of my work, no one blames anyone for getting laid off. It just happens. It's the ebbs and flows. And during COVID, there's been massive layoffs. So own it. Most people will have compassion. The other thing that I wish I knew when I was a recruiter, Jen, because I would have been a millionaire, is this simple technique that I use for all my clients who are interviewing now. And I've used it 100 times and I think it's worked 100 times, which is do not focus entirely on what you've done. Tell the employer what you're going to do next. Focus on solving a problem. This is good for elevator pitch, but it's great for interviewing. Don't talk about what you've done. Talk about what you're going to do. And you can get there by saying, what problems are you tackling right now? What are you working on anymore? I still find my clients' jobs for my other clients with my other clients because I get in there and I go, you have a problem. I know the person can solve that problem. Never mind if they've done it. I know what they're capable of doing. And that's also the way to get the dream job. That's the way, if you're trying to level up in your career or pivot, it doesn't matter what you did as much. It matters what you're going to do next. And that's where the dialogue helps. And that's where the discussion helps. Gotcha.
On the note of pivoting, there was a really great question, Brandon. I'm going to toss it to you first from Antonia on our Facebook live feed here. And she said, what happens if many of your references have passed away because, you know, they're just older at this age? And we were just talking about the importance of references. I would love to know if you have any wisdom or suggestions on that. And I'll certainly share my two cents.
I mean, first off, sorry for the loss of people that you've worked with. And secondly, people that have passed away, then, you know, what I always say about a great reference and an expert when I did law too, I don't want the person who is the CEO for a reference. I don't want that. I want the person who likes you the most. Hard stop. You know, I have checked a lot of references, and I got to tell you, it is amazing to me when I talk to a reference and they say something negative. They clearly don't necessarily like the person they're giving reference to. And I always think that reflects so poorly on the candidate. So the answer to your question, I think, is I'm sorry for the people who pass, certainly. And I would say whoever you like the most probably likes you. It's weird how that works. But also what I love to think about, and I do this a lot in my work, is Antonio, who have you helped? Who have you helped? Who, if they needed something, would you do for? Who would, if they needed a reference, you would be the first person to say, please ask me. Whoever that is, more often than not, that's the person that you want to be a reference for. And I guarantee you, there's plenty of people out there that fit that bill.
Yeah. And that's a great point, Brandon. And one of the things that you just hit on too is sometimes, Antonia, employers are also welcome to, you know, check personal references. It depends on the employer. Sometimes that is equally as valuable. And if you have people who you've collaborated with in any way over the years, and in fact, there was a great piece of feedback from Michelle on our feed as well, who said volunteer. I think we touched on that a couple of episodes ago, is that if you're missing something on your resume, or if you were laid off, or if you weren't working for a while, volunteer work is just as equally as important, or even volunteering on boards, organizing meetings, being in PTA, whatever it is, there are so many ways that we add value. And sometimes we get myopic and focused on the job per se, the job that pays your bills. However, there are many ways, like Brandon just said, that we all contribute value in the world. And if I may, Brandon, one other thing I would love to share with everybody that I think can be super valuable when you're prepping for an interview in particular is what I like to call the three fives. And that is, and it ties in similarly to what you just said, Brandon, it's just a little simple acronym that I came up with that is five reasons why they should want to hire you, five reasons why you would like to work for the company, and five questions regarding the position. Now, when it comes to the five reasons of why someone should want to hire you, it ties in very similarly, Brandon, what you were just talking about the problem you may be able to help them solve. I like to tie into what I call PEP, P-E-P, productivity, efficiency, and performance. Where have you increased productivity, efficiency, or performance? Or where could you increase productivity, efficiency, or performance related to a pain point? And it does not matter your role. I have coached thousands, if not tens of thousands of people at this point in my career. And it doesn't matter your role. You could be starting off in your career as a receptionist. You could be the CEO of an organization. Every person adds value and own that value. Really, you know, harness that value and share. This is a really fun thing. I'm helping a friend of mine. She's actually about to launch her first book here. She has a book release in March, and the same thing is true of publicity. You always want to have these talking points. So say you have these five reasons why someone should want to hire you. These are your talking points. No matter what question you get asked in the interview, they could say, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? And literally, this is a PR technique, which is why I bring up my friend prepping for an interview. You block and bridge over to a pre-planned talking point. You see this a lot in politics and with actors and actresses who are promoting their latest movie or musicians promoting a song, and they always have something they want to share with you. When you're a job seeker, your goal is to share how you're going to increase value and to lovingly steer the conversation the whole way. They say, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? And you say, oh my gosh, thank God for Mint Chip Rocky Road, because there was a day I was working on a trial. It was midnight one day, and that was all I had to eat, you know, after 8 p.m. that night. And it got me through it. And my boss still to this day says, thank God I stayed till midnight that night, because that's what had us win that case. So notice that you're always blocking and bridging over to these talking points. And let me tell you guys, that makes the interviewer's life so much easier. Because if you are on the interviewer side, it's not necessarily fun. Brandon and I have both probably cumulatively interviewed well over 10,000 people. And it's like pulling teeth. Pulling teeth is not fun. It's not enjoyable. It's like, oh, why did you leave here? Why did you leave there? Why should we hire you? When is why you should hire me? Oh, let me share another reason you should hire me. it becomes this symbiosis and this effortless fun thing rather than this cumbersome way of handling an interview.
That is so important, what you talked about the interviewer's experience. One of my favorite pieces of comments I ever got was, this is someone who just interviewed probably 20,000 people a year. And they said, this will be the quickest hour of my week. Thank you. You know, we all do this. We all are in conversation, especially in people who interview a lot of people, and they start looking, you do not want your interviewer to look at the watch. You want them to go, oh my God, we went 15 minutes over. I can't believe it. That's what you want your interviewer to say, is I can't believe we went over. Or, you know, this happened to one of my clients recently, is two separate people they were interviewing with canceled their next appointment because they were so enjoying the conversation. Make it fun for the interviewer. You know, believe me, that alone. And what do you showcase? Usually humility, but also people skills. And I got to tell you right now, emotional intelligence is one of the greatest assets you need. People are not hiring fill in the blank, but people who do not have good people skills are not necessarily getting hired in the future. They're hiring people that they want to work with, that they enjoy talking to. The other thing we should talk about, and we sort of allude to this, is the idea of prep. Make sure you do your research on the company. The famous Jennifer Hill story, she found out that the interviewer had the, you know, it was their birthday and brought the bottle of wine. I still love that one. But, you know, I was thinking about teasing myself a little bit. I was never meant to be an agent or what have you, but I was doing some research and I interviewed like 8 places in a row one time. And I was in the interview and I went, you worked on this movie. And the person looked at me so weird. And when I left the interview, I was like, no, they did. I look up the interview. I looked up what I found. And there was two movies with the same title. I talked about the wrong movie. And I always thought that. And I was like, I just love that. Yeah. I mean, granted, the guy was so creepy, this dude. But so I definitely didn't want to work with him.
Now people are going to go try and figure out what the movie is.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it was Crash, but it was the wrong Crash. There's two Crashes, just for the record. That was a bad one. That went poorly, to my benefit.
Sometimes that's the greatest gift, though, Ben. I want to pause
not
and
getting,
highlight
oh,
that
not getting,
that.
Right, totally. Go ahead.
Not getting hired in the wrong job is the best thing that can ever happen to you in your life. We have all been there. Because think about it. You go home and you're beating yourself up. And you're like, oh, geez, I just bombed that. I brought up the wrong interview. The universe just intervened on your behalf, man. The universe is like, I have your back. You would be miserable there. And sometimes, here's the funny thing. We do not follow the signs. Now, if any of you follow me out there, I do other metaphysical shows like Dr. Deepak Chopra and other world thought leaders. And I am telling you, the universe has your back. So when you get stopped and get a flat tire on the way to the interview and you have different things are just going haywire and you really don't vibe with the person, trust that the universe has your back. Perfect example of this. This is a little bit divergent, but I'm going to offer it up here because it does work for people. And I know many people who have used this. I had a friend of mine who I was mentoring for a program, and she went into interview with one of my clients. And I didn't represent her as a recruiter. I just happened to know the client and happened to know she was up for the job. And I was giving her some advice, and she's like, oh, Jen, this is my dream job. I want this job. She's salivating over it. And the client I knew was super hot on her because they weren't seeing other people. So about 2 weeks later, I happened to go visit this client in their office, and I'm sitting down and they're like, yeah, we didn't hire her. It was the weirdest thing. And I said, huh. So before she went into that interview, because I believe that the universe has our backs, totally. I think there's a book called The Universe Has Your Back out there. And I told her to say before her final interview, they were ready to offer her the job. The client even said this to me when I saw her a few weeks later. That last interview, they were going to give her an offer on the spot. And I said to the woman, I said, listen, I know that, you know, you've been in your current job 10 years, et cetera. Before you go in for the final interview, just throw it over to the universe and say, universe, this job is meant to be mine. Please reveal it to me with ease and effortlessly. If not, please remove this or any opportunity that is not meant to be in your life. By the way, this is one of my, you know, things that I live by, is things that I think are in my highest and best good, I let it go. If it's not meant to be in my life, I ask the universe to remove it from my path. So what wound up happening is she went in for her final interview after they were ready to give her the job offer at that interview and bombed it. They hated her. She hated them after everything had gone spectacularly well. Moral of the story, and the client, when I saw her 2 weeks later, is like, what happened? None of us could figure it out. I was looking forward to having this off my plate. And so the universe had her back. Turned out the reason she was going to leave the original company that she had been at 10 years and was happy at otherwise was one individual. Less than 3 weeks later, that individual left the company. She is still now gainfully and happily employed in the original company. So sometimes, guys, you got to trust that that interview that doesn't work out, the flat tire you get on the way to the interview, the person who's a jerk to you after you thought it was your ideal job, the universe has your back. Trust in that.
This, you just brought up something so important. One thing that I say when I'm doing presentations to that point, though, is failing at what you're not meant to do may be your greatest success, and succeeding at what you're not meant to do may be your greatest failure. I'm a weird person, but if someone gets fired, if they separate, if they lose a job, I'm always like, congratulations. I don't believe that anyone leaves their dream job or dream person. I also don't think anyone... I do think you can get the wrong job for you, and it's painful. It pains me as a coach and a recruiter when someone's in the wrong job. It hurts. Like, I feel it viscerally because I know what it feels like. That line from good to great, it's like stealing years of your life. So if you bomb it, great on you. What I also have repeated over and over again to clients, and I think this is very important for anyone listening, is do not walk away from something. Walk towards something. Do not walk away. When you are walking away from something, you are more likely to wind up in the wrong scenario. Now, if it is toxic, if it is abusive, get out. Get out and get out and get out. Okay. I'd rather you have no job than be abused if your finances can handle it. But I'd rather you walk towards, right? And in that woman's case, she was walking away from something. And worse than that, somebody. You know, that's like lesson for all managers, right? People don't leave companies that leave managers. But, yeah. Oh, while you're on the interview, if you know anyone that works at that company, anything that can, you can create that personal, I'm going to use your word, Jennifer, bridge or link. Mm-hmm. That's huge. You just want to be remembered, hopefully for not for the wrong reason. But I love that I got that interview wrong. I was not meant to have that. I actually was trying to get out of law and escape into something that I probably wasn't meant to do. When I got my job in recruiting, again, one of my favorite stories of all time was, don't do this. But sitting in an interview and telling the interviewer that you don't want the job you're entering for is a horrible idea. But what I always say is, if you talk to a recruiter and you don't want that job, that's okay. But you got to do what I do and everyone else who has ever gotten a great job in that scenario does, which is, but I'll tell you what I would like to do. And that's what I did. And I think that's the key. It's okay not to want the job. And one of my favorite people, my partner at my old company, the person who helped me organize all my trainings, all my coaching, this near and dear person, Tamara, she's got a great job. And I'm just so happy for her. And she went in and she was so beat up by some of her former experiences that she was going to take an executive assistant role. And it's nails on a chalkboard for me. And they literally in the interview, they go, no, you are a program manager, whatever it is that she's doing. And it's this big role. And it's the same thing I saw in her always, that whenever she lived small, it was a disservice to anyone around her because she was so brilliant, so strategic, so amazing. And you want to go to a job that says, no, we can't put you in the smaller role. You're that awesome. You want to be somewhere where people see your power and your greatness, but do not shoot yourself in the foot by saying that you're less than. Go in and share what you're great at, what makes you unique, your skills. Let them sort it out.
Sharing your superpowers. I mean, I know one of the other things we've talked about, Brandon, is like your power threes. And ask people, if you're at a loss, like I have one of my dearest friends who I've known for over 20 years, and she is an admin assistant. And she's like, Jen, like, I don't know, like, you know, what am I great at? And then she did some work and she was looking to transition out of one career into another career. And I said, focus on the things you're great at. I can tell you what you're great at. Ask the people in your life, what are you great at? And then you begin to harness it. Sometimes we have these blind spots. We look everywhere and we don't see the value that we bring to the world and to other people and to our jobs. And there's nothing wrong with asking people. You know, I go back to these same questions, these six questions of, what was your first impression of me when we met? These are questions you can ask friends to get a really good sense of your strengths and weaknesses. Where have I surprised you? Where have I disappointed you? What can you count on me for? What can't you count on me for? And what is your impression of me now? Those six questions will tell you everything you need to know about how to share and what to share in an interview and the areas that you get to strengthen yourself in. You know, it's funny, as a quick aside, I'm reading a book. I think it's called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers by Debbie Ford, which came highly recommended to me by one of my friends who's a thought leader. And what in the book, she says, listen, we all have that bitchy side of ourselves. I tell people I'm a recovering a-hole or jerk, right? And it's like to know that there's the times, and she gives a great example in the book, that there are going to be times in business where you might have to put on your jerk pants and you might have to get shit done. Pardon my French, you know, you have to get out there and do it. And to allow all these aspects of yourself, instead of beating yourself up and trying to be a little automaton in a box and, you know, get all right, allow yourself to be a full-fledged human being and experience the spectrum of all of that you are. And don't be afraid to go out there and ask. You can, like Brandon was just sharing, find the job that's right for you. When you know the whole spectrum of your greatest strengths to the things that you're not as great at, spend the rest of your life doing things you're great at. Your life, your happiness, your health, your wholeness. You will make more money, be happier, because, you know, here's the thing. We all have the things that might be our dark side or our jerk side or whatever it is. Find a job that embraces those and allows even that aspect of yourself to thrive, so you don't have to suppress it and you can be the full spectrum of who you are as a human being.
Absolutely. And I just got an email from one of my favorite people I've ever coached, this young woman. And she just got promoted and promoted and promoted again. And I've talked about her in the past. It's like, you know, she's my hero because she fully embraced who she was finally in her life. And ever since that moment, she interviews from that space, she shows up in that space, and from her, the companies that want more of that have promoted her. As I used to say to my clients, you're not Meryl Streep, you're not De Niro, you're not going to win any Oscars. Don't try. Little micro tips, by the way, just that are helpful. Bring at least 2 to 3 copies of your resume. I know most people don't do hard paperwork, but you don't want to not have them. Go in, put the paper down. A lot of times your interviewer is so busy, they haven't done any research. They're just, this is the thing they're doing today. By the way, sometimes if you interview at a company and there's 10 people, one of them might be a jerk. Don't let the one jerk they're just having a bad day. You know, I can't tell you how many times I talk to someone and it's like 9 great interviews, 1 terrible person. I'm like, well, this is probably because that person's terrible. You know, we're having a bad day.
Good ratio, by the way.
Yeah, I it's weird though how often that happens. You know, the other things are get there early, be nice to everyone. I mean, it seems like a dub. I always say as an interviewer, as I judge a company by how happy your receptionist is. So, you know, look at cues too as you're walking around. Look at the faces. Oh, and that's the other one, nonverbal cues. We forget, especially God bless us, and if you're doing a Zoom interview, it's so easy to be. Yeah, I mean, lock in.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's focus on Zoom for a moment too, because I know for at least the near future, many countries and people around the world are still under lockdown. And so many of these interviews may be happening in this sort of a capacity like we're in right now. A couple of quick down and dirty tips just for prepping your space. I remember I saw a LinkedIn post on this a long time ago that was very valuable. And they said, number one, you guys would laugh. Like, I wish if my computer were actually set up right now, I would actually show you down what my setup looks like. I actually have a Razer camera, which I love. It's worth the $75 investment, or you can even get yourself a Lumi. You can use either like a Razer camera like I have, which has the light built in, which is very helpful. And I actually have book stats. So depending on, you want your computer to be as close to eye level as possible. And so you would laugh at my setup, but I have like 6 books stacked so that the computer is at the right angle and you can set up a backdrop. One of the things that I learned that during this time of Zoom can be very valuable for people is to look into the eye of the camera. Like, I'll give you guys an example right now. Sometimes you might see me look down if I'm responding to people or seeing if there's new comments on Facebook. However, imagine that if I'm doing the whole interview with Brandon and I'm looking over here to the left, or if I'm looking down at Brandon the whole time, then you're not getting that energy from my eyes. However, when I look back up and directly into the camera, into the eye of the camera, it's like looking into another human being's eyes. And it's one of the quickest ways that when we're in the Zoom and StreamYard and whatever other programs you might be using, sort of a world, when you're looking into the eye of the camera, you're able to create that intimacy and that rapport with someone rather than if you're just looking at their face. So one of the things that was taught to me by my mentor is when you're speaking, look into the eye of the camera. When the other person is speaking, look down at their face so that way you can connect to what they're saying. So I found that to be helpful personally.
I think that's beautiful advice and all really relevant. And it's that eye contact and connection that matters. Body language matters. All these things matter. Also, how you dress matters a little bit, right? It's good to be aware of the culture of the company. If some are more conservative, dress, some are less. I'm always of the opinion, if you're going to go on an interview, dress probably a notch up, not a notch down. There's less room for error, you know? Let them say, hey, you know, we're not a whatever it is, formal wear company. That's on them. If, by the way, if you're interviewing at Levi's, wear Levi's, you know, if you're going to,
Know the brand.
Every time I like, you know, one thing I used to do because I did so many corporate, hundreds of corporate trainings, I would dress in the corporate colors of the company I would go to, as like, just like a little thing. And it was just funny. Someone, 1 out of 10 people noticed it, but when they did, I was like, yeah, I did that. The other thing to remember that I think is so important is to make sure that you leave with a follow-up, a note, anything that is leave the interview with something as a don't say when can I hear back. Say thank you. You know, I'm sure you'll be in touch. You know, let them a little bit off the hook, but if you can gather any information on what's next, that's great. The other thing is, and this is the most important, I get so mad at my clients when they don't go to an interview without prepping for the interview. Spouses, friends, anyone can prep you, but practice your responses. You do not want to be, if it's a big job, you don't want to be figuring it out in the moment. You want to have practiced it. There is a difference between practice and being forced, but and really, I don't care if you practice every question, but practice the why did you leave? What are your weaknesses? What are your strengths? The 5 things Jennifer said. And lastly, I think Jennifer, that is, I love, you love that, the thing you do. I love the rule 3. Either way, get feedback from people on what makes you strong. I think that's so important. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say, Brandon, so, and I think it's next week's episode, we're really going to deep dive a little bit further into more mock interview stuff. I think we were even talking about possibly having somebody live with us to mock interview, because I know that can be very helpful to see real time feedback. You know, we're talking about a lot of these theoretical ways and of how you can approach it. And one thing you touched on, Brandon, as far as towards the end of the interview that sometimes people don't think about is ask how the person prefers to be followed up with. This is critical in today's day and age, and always has been. I remember years ago, I have a friend of mine, dear friend of mine, who runs a top-notch law firm in Century City, and he literally does not check his voicemail for 6 months at a time. So imagine that you're thinking, oh, I'm going to follow up with, we'll call him Bob, and leave Bob a voicemail telling him how interested I am in the job. Bob's not going to listen to your voicemail because he doesn't do voicemails. So it's very advantageous at the end of the interview to say, gosh, you know what, Brandon, thank you so much for your time. I'm so happy we had the time to catch up today. I would love to know what works best for you. Would you like me to circle back with an email or a voicemail in 2 weeks, or should I wait to hear from you? When you do that, you're setting up clear communication and fulfillable expectations between you and the other person. They might say, oh, I prefer that we reach out to you. They might say an email would be great as a reminder. We're early on in the process. Precedent as far as how to communicate and whether they wish to receive future communication from you. So I know we're running out of time here, Brandon. Any closing thoughts, my friend? And thank you to Antonia and Michelle and everybody else who joined us and commented in on the show today.
Yeah, thank you, Antonio and Michelle. Really good interaction. Look, here it is. Be authentically yourself. If you miss, congratulations. You weren't supposed to have that job anyway. Please practice this. If you're going into a job, do your research, dress for success, bring your resumes, do Amy Cuddy's power poses or whatever else you need to get into that right frame of mind before you go in. And then finally, perhaps most importantly, when you interview, don't just say all the things you've done, say what you're going to do next. And by the way, the more you get clear on where you want to have an impact, what you want to do or versus what you don't want to do, the more you'll share, the more likely it is. The more excited you are about talking about yourself or the value you'll bring, the more excited someone's going to be to talk to you. Lastly, ask questions. Find out about the interviewer, find out about the company, show an interest in them. It is a two-way dialogue back and forth. These are going to be your colleagues one day. And so start treating them like that from day one. And it's amazing how often that's what gets you the dream job.
Totally could not agree more. In fact, I think there was a guy from Pinkberry who was an executive there years ago. It's an ice cream store. And he had said, you know, one of the favorite questions that he was ever asked by an interviewee was, what are the three words that you would use to describe your company culture? And that's always stuck with me. I think it's so valuable. Know what values matter to you and ask that question. And if somebody has three values that aren't in alignment, you know, you might have different words for the same thing. I think that could be such a valuable way to see, is this in alignment or is this not in alignment? And, you know, thank you so much, guys. Brandon, thank you for all your wisdom. Thank you to everybody who's tuning in now or in the future. If you got value out of this, share it, comment, rate us. That's how we can continue to grow and bring you more value, more guests. And please, as you saw, we interact with you live on our Facebook page here, on LA Talk Live's Facebook page. So we would love to know from you what matters. You can feel free to comment in this show or future shows. Tell us any topics that matter to you or anything that's a burning question in your mind. And to the best of our ability, when we're live during the show, we're happy to respond to those. So continue, please. Feel free to check us out. We have a Get Yourself the Job Instagram page, a Get Yourself the Job Facebook page. And we've also, for everyone's convenience, created a Get Yourself the Job YouTube page. So if anybody wants to go back and you prefer YouTube, you can go back and watch it on there instead of on Facebook. And, you know, just this is super, we're so grateful to be able to be here with you guys. We're so happy that everybody tuned in and, you know, just wishing you out there the best of luck and being able to fulfill your heart's desires and have your dreams come true. So thank you so much for tuning in here today with us and just wishing you a great rest of your week.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.